Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
And a good afternoon. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, brought to you by Harvard Western Insurance. We don't judge. Here's another reminder to renew your plates today. Visit harvardwestern.com. And brought to you by the Arcola Co-op, offering fuel, food, and drinks on Highway 13. Arcola Co-op, you're at home here. On today's show, we have the final hail report of the season, and 2021 was costly for hail insurance companies in Saskatchewan. They paid out more than they received in premiums. We talk with agricultural journalist Kevin Hirsch about climate change and government goals, as well as this year's drought. Real Agriculture talks with conservative agriculture critic John Barlow. Milligan Biotech expands, Saskatchewan agriculture plans a drought seminar, and we have an agribition report. The farm weather is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour. This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Johnson's Grain, helping growers contract any type of grain. Call 1-800-324-7778. And brought to you by Farm Fresh Water. They'll make your water well, your well water wonderful, and your dugout drinkable. Get your Farm Fresh Water today at farmfreshwater.ca. Extremely damaging hailstorms resulted in near-record claims for Western Canadian farmers this year, despite a decrease in overall storm activity. The Canadian Crop Hail Association says insurance payments to prairie producers exceeded $322 million, compared to the $309 million collected in premiums. Scott McQueen is the president of the Canadian Crop Hail Association. He says the most damage was in Saskatchewan.
We had a loss ratio of 134%, and that's compared to 65% in 2020. And then Alberta fell in at 97% loss ratio, and Manitoba was a little bit of a saving grace for the companies, and they were coming in at 26%. So Saskatchewan was heavy hit from start to finish.
The first hailstorm arrived a little later than normal, but caused widespread damage.
Our first big storm was around July 5th. I mean, we had a little bit of storm activity prior to that, but the first big one was July 5th, and that was southern Alberta. And then it sort of started from there. You get some big dates like July 11th, July 22nd, and then into August and September.
McQueen says the late season storms caused significant damage around the Regina area.
They did, yes. We had a big storm August 24th. We had one August 29th, 30th, and September 1st. And those hit a large portion of both Saskatchewan and Alberta. And yeah, as crops are obviously ripening, they're more susceptible to damage. And they are quite heavy payments for the industry this year.
Higher loss ratios usually translate into higher premiums the following year.
I would expect in 2022 a rate increase, throughout the province. And it's not every township that's going to increase. It's basically based on previous history in townships. So a lot of companies, whether they go on a five-year average, a 10 or a 20 or a historical average, that's sort of company to company. But you can definitely anticipate a rate increase in some of those townships that received hail in the last, obviously, in 2021.
Like all farmers, crop hail insurance companies are hoping for winter snow and spring rain to boost very poor topsoil moisture levels in many areas.
Bet. I mean, it's one of those things, and sometimes farmers want to see what the crop looks like before they put crop hail coverage on, and some don't. I mean, some you see patterns of buying, and that those patterns are, you know, they buy it, you know, within the same couple day range every year, but a lot of farmers do like to wait and see what the crop's like, and that depends on your moisture levels. And I know in the past, and especially this year, we had some areas that were hit pretty hard with drought. We did have that big timely soak that helped producers get out and get their crop hail, and hopefully next year we have, you know, adequate moisture levels for everybody, and we can all enjoy a good growing season.
Scott McQueen is president of the Canadian Crop Hail Association. This portion is brought to you by Prairie 6-inch eaves troughs. An inch makes a big difference. PrairieEavesTroughs.ca. the Climate Change Conference wrapped up in Scotland on Friday. Agricultural journalist and consultant Kevin Hirsch farms at Cabri. Last week, he outlined a farm voice to the issues.
My view is that Canada should do its part and do its best to meet its targets, but there's no use being a Boy Scout and getting ahead of the rest of the world. And if China and Russia don't care and other countries aren't living up to their commitments, there's no use, committing suicide with our economic future just to be Boy Scouts and show the world, look what we're doing, when we're only 1.6% of total carbon emissions. We could you could euthanize the entire Canadian population and stop all man-made carbon, and it really wouldn't change the trajectory of global warming. That being said, we should try to do our part. We should try to encourage others to do their part. But I'm not convinced that going it alone or that this heavy-handed environmentalism is really going to make much difference. And I really feel for our energy industry, our oil and gas industry, when people say, oh, we shouldn't be exporting, we shouldn't be producing. Well, that oil and gas is just going to come from somewhere else that may even have a higher carbon footprint than we do, and probably a whole lot more ethical problems than our production has. So what have you really solved other than making us a whole lot poorer? So I know those aren't necessarily popular decisions in the environmental crowd, but you asked.
Europe has adopted a number of energy sources, but still buys natural gas from Russia.
And they have, as I understand it, just recently passed their food to fork policy that calls for a huge increase in organic agriculture, a massive decrease in the amount of crop protection products used, a massive decrease in fertilizer in the years ahead. So they will more and more become a net importer rather than an exporter of agricultural products, which I guess could be good for us. But the same policies that they're adopting, some people are saying Canada should do the same thing, and I think that would be a big mistake.
A federal proposal calling for a 30% reduction in fertilizer use in Canada is a cause for concern.
Well, at this point, it's a target, and it's been put out there, and a lot of people have, said various things about what that target would mean. I still haven't figured out exactly how the government would implement that or what their plan is in that regard. I do think the MNP report was probably not very well articulated. It's not a straight line correspondence between cutting the top end of your fertilizer use down and the yield reduction that will come about. And there are things we can do with nitrogen stabilizers, better placement of fertilizer, more pulse crops, some biological products that may have a place to play, that we could mitigate some of the negative effects of decreasing fertilizer use. But I don't think it's a very good idea to try to mandate reduced fertilizer use from the top down. I think it's better to make it more attractive for producers to better use fertilizer and to attack the problem that way.
Kevin Hirsch farms near Cabri. He says this year's drought affected many farmers, especially those who were unable to grow enough crop to meet forward production contracts. Hirsch says paying money to grain companies to fulfill those contracts is something that's not easy to forget.
It's a tough nut to crack. I don't think he can go in and impose changes in existing contracts. Many of them have now been settled and worked through. It has been variable how one company or another deals with producers, and they might deal with producers in a different way, depending whether that producer just doesn't have the crop or whether that producer is perceived to just want to get out of the contract to participate in price rallies. I think that they took a different view of that at many of the grain companies. I do support the idea that contracts could be in more simplified language and we all better have a good understanding of exactly what we're signing and what our obligations are going forward. It is a strange situation, though. First of all, to be that short of yield, producers in many cases were over-aggressive in how much they committed, and that's because we've had a number of good crops. But beyond that, it was the perfect storm where prices increased so dramatically, that it was very expensive to try to get out of those contracts. So it was a perfect storm, but people will remember this for a long, long time. I actually fear that producers will pass up some good contract opportunities for 2022 because they've got the bad taste of the 2021 contract still in their mouths, especially on crops that offer an act of God clause in contracts. I think it's still prudent business when prices look very, very good to lock in a little bit of your expected production at a good price.
Hirst says soil moisture remains a bit of a concern for next year. Switching from grain to beef, we asked Hirst to summarize what he's been hearing from cow-calf producers.
My knowledge mainly comes from talking to my cattle farming neighbors, some of whom I work with back and forth on various things. And I think that many of them really scrounged, cutting slough bottoms, baling up kochia weed, even baling up cattails as a livestock bedding so they don't have to utilize straw. And some culled heavily, some sold down part of their herds, some are just hoping for an open winter where feed use won't be as high, some are hoping that their corn that they seeded for grazing corn will stand themselves in good enough stead to get them through the winter. But you're right, prices held up, I think, amazingly well in the early part of the calf run. Even cull cow prices held up. But I think those prices now are softening, and you hear some poor prices, especially on thinner cows and cull cows going to market. And that's not surprising. When you get an influx of cattle going to market, the price is going to be affected.
Kevin Hirst farms at Cabri and is a well-known agricultural journalist and consultant.
Time now for Real Agriculture with Sean Haney. Brought to you in part by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamp's Integra Tire in Grenfell. Your locally owned Integra Tire dealers on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This is your RealAgriculture.com update. Bring the energy of Real Ag Radio to your next customer meeting or conference. From your stage, we'll record an episode in person to inform and provide insight on the latest in agriculture. I'm joined by the new Conservative Shadow Minister for Agriculture, Agri-Food, and Food Security. It is John Barlow, MP from Foothills. Hey, John, how are you?
Great. Thanks very much for having me. It's good to get that title back, for sure.
Well, congratulations. You're back in the fold in a portfolio that, quite frankly, means a lot to you.
Yeah, Sean, it does. This is something that I put a lot of time and effort into it, but also it's critically important to my own constituents and my own riding. But I think the stakeholders and the people we work with certainly appreciated the work that we've put in the past. They trust us, they have confidence in us, and I'm really looking forward to working with our stakeholders again. And there's a lot of issues to tackle, and I'm ready to get at it.
John, you had a short, brief period away from this position. From that time away, do you enter the second round, the second time in this spot, with maybe different point of view? Or like, what did that time away, how did it help you?
Yeah, that's a great question. And certainly taking some time and focusing on the health committee and the health file was an incredible learning experience, and that it's not something I had done before. But I also got a better appreciation of, you know, some of the challenges that the agriculture faces when so many of the things that impact that sector are in different portfolios, for instance, with PMRA and CFIA and health, dealing with the health minister when they may or may not understand agriculture that well. So I think I come back this time around with a better understanding of all of the different elements and all of the different ministers who kind of have their fingers in the agricultural pie. And this gives me a much better and broader perspective and understanding and a little bit more experience of working with other ministers as well, which hopefully those relationships will pay off.
Well, one of the things that changed in the title is the addition of food security. What does that exactly mean for you in this position?
Well, I think it's one of the things that we've learned through the pandemic is, I would hope that Canadians have a better understanding of where their food comes from and a better understanding of Canadian agriculture. But I think the other thing that we've learned, or we should be learning, is that Canada has to be much more self-sufficient. We've always been excellent at supplying the raw materials, but we haven't always been focused or investing in the value-added end of it. So this during the pandemic. It was the first time in my life, and I'm sure many others, that we saw empty grocery store shelves. Now we're seeing, additional non-tariff trade barriers and trade irritants around the world. We've understood now that we have to strengthen our relationships with our most trusted trading partners, and we cannot rely on the bad actors. So there's going to be, disruptions in the supply chain, which we've all seen, whether that's containers coming across, from around the world. So I think for me, the food security is being self-sufficient and having a rock-solid supply chain within our own country, and we don't want to lessen our relationships with our global trading partners, but maybe lessen our reliance on those supply chains.
So does that mean more of a focus on building the greenhouse industry, or like what do those solutions look like?
Yeah, exactly. I think we need to grow our processing and manufacturing sector here in Canada, but also take a look at those opportunities when it comes to greenhouses. We've got a lot. Sunlight isn't the problem. It's where we're taking advantage of these opportunities. And I think we have to look at all of these different perspectives and find out what will work and what won't, and how a government can play a role in that in partnering with the private sector and the producers.
What's going to be interesting is there's some familiar faces going to be joining you on Ag Committee. NDP has Mr. McGregor back. The Bloc Québécois has Mr. Perron back. And so there's going to be a lot of familiar faces in that room working with Minister Bourbeau to solve some of these problems.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting back. I believe we've all worked quite well together, and I believe we will do that again. And I think one of the proof of that is, even my private member's bill, C-205, I was able to get it through committee last spring with unanimous support of all parties involved. And I think that highlights the ability for all of us to, put politics aside at times and do what's best for our stakeholders and our constituents.
This has been your Real Agriculture Update. You can find out more about this issue or many others at realagriculture.com.
Infuse some energy into your next corporate event, customer meeting, or conference with Real Ag Radio, Canada's national agriculture radio show. Create a unique experience at your next event with host Sean Haney, broadcasting Real Ag Radio live on Sirius XM, featuring exciting guests, captivating interviews, and the latest news from the agriculture community. Contact advertising at realagriculture.com or call 587-787-1795 to book your on-location with Real Ag Radio today.
Get out to an early start on weed control in next year's canola and lentil crop using Group 3 Edge Microactive from Gowan, Canada this fall. Edge Microactive, maximize yields today and manage resistance for tomorrow. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan, Canada.
The official 620 CKRM Farm Weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. A fog advisory remains in effect. Cloudy today, rain beginning this afternoon. Fog dissipating early this afternoon. Wind southeast 20, the high plus 4. Wind southeast 40, gusting to 60 tonight, with the temperature steady near plus 3. Tomorrow, increasing cloudiness, snow and blowing snow beginning near noon. Wind southwest 40, gusting to 60, becoming west 60, gusting to 90 in the afternoon. The high plus 4, with temperature falling to minus 1 tomorrow afternoon, the low minus 8. Wednesday, cloudy, 60% chance of flurries, local blowing snow Wednesday, and windy, high minus 8, low minus 14. Thursday, sunny, the high minus 4, the low minus 9. Friday, partly cloudy, the high minus 1, the low minus 9. Saturday, partly cloudy, the high minus 4, the low minus 11. Sunday, partly cloudy, the high minus 6. Normal high is minus 2 for this date. The normal low is minus 12. The sun rose at 8:13 this morning. It sets at 5:13 tonight. And around the province, the hot spot right now in the southwest corner, Valmarie at plus 6. The cold spot up north, Uranium City at minus 6. Estevan and Saskatoon plus 1. Swift Current plus 3. Weyburn plus 1. Yorkton is minus 1. Regina has some mist. It's plus 1. That's 34 Fahrenheit. Winds are from the east-southeast at 11. Humidity is 97%. The barometer falling 101.1. Fog and Moose Jaw plus 2, winds are from the east at 8. Once again, Regina mist and plus 1, that's 34 Fahrenheit. Back in a moment. This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers, McDougallAuctions.com. And brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. Milligan Bio in Foam Lake is undergoing a major $1 million+ expansion. Milligan Bio is a Saskatchewan-based major supplier of numerous environmentally friendly canola-based products that can be used in both the industrial and agricultural sector. All of the products use canola from local growers across the provinces of the prairies. The company, Scott Osborne, outlines the expansion plans.
Yeah, we're adding a existing storage blending facility into our into the plant here, just to allow us to, when seed is available, to bring it in and condition it properly for our crush plant.
The storage capacity will triple. Osborne says producers will see a huge benefit.
Being that we run an off-grade seed, it's going to allow a producer the ability to deliver the seed immediately and not have to be put on a wait list till we have room. Currently, right now, we're operating with about, 700 or 800 tons of seed storage availability, and it's always full. So right now we want to step it up so we can, when the producer has the seed, we can take it immediately.
Osborne says the project will be completed early in the new year. He says not only do they buy seed, but also produce all natural products and items like penetrating oil. Scott Osborne is with Milligan Bio in Foam Lake. This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Degelmann Industries. Look to Degelmann for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies. Small town lumberyard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. The crops extension specialist in Prince Albert says a feature virtual event will discuss efforts to battle drought late this month. Ellie Noble with Saskatchewan Agriculture says there will be 14 guest speakers on the Internet Drought Seminar.
This year, our crops extension specialist team has worked to put together an agenda for Agronomy Research Update 2021 that will help answer some of these. Every year, SaskAg puts on this event, and in 2021, it will once again be a virtual event that is free to sign up for. Online sessions will be spread out over 4 days from November 29th to December 2nd, starting at 9 a.m. and running until 11 a.m. each day. Agronomists, producers, industry, and retail attendees will have the opportunity to learn about what happened in the 2021 growing season and the potential impact in 2022, as well as research on dry crop conditions and annual forage crops. We have 14 speakers over 4 days joining us to address different agronomic issues that have come up over the past year. We have speakers including Dave Sochin from the University of Regina on current drought conditions from a climate change perspective. We have Jeff Shano joining us from the U of S, managing soil fertility under dry conditions. We have Rosalind Buchert from the U of S, talking about crops physiology under stress. And as well as this, we have multiple provincial specialists from Saskatchewan Agriculture that will be joining us to update on herbicide injury risks going into 2022 with Clark Brenzel, seed quality concerns going into the next growing season with Dale Rizzula, and provincial crop disease and insect updates from Alireza Akavan and James Tansey.
It's time now for Countdown to Agribition, brought to you by 2S Auctioneers Online Auction House. Start bidding today at 2sauctioneers.ca. Canadian Western Agribition is back next week after being canceled due to COVID-19 last year. CEO Chris Lane says the show will celebrate the 50th anniversary of Canadian Western Agribition with a full week of national cattle shows and sales. There'll be jousting, sword fighting, and birds of prey displays. There'll be free skating on the grounds, but he says the school tours will be in a virtual format due to the pandemic this year.
The field trips, the schools themselves are not coming to Agribition. We've made a decision with the school boards themselves around what that would look like. And so in the last year, we've been able to put together a pretty comprehensive virtual agricultural education experience, sort of what kids would see and do at Agribition as best we can online. And we're creating new content for that too. So we'll be able to deliver an agricultural education experience during Agribition Show Week virtually to the classrooms that aren't able to be here.
That's CWA CEO Chris Lane. Agribition begins Monday and wraps up Saturday, November 27th. Market Update is brought to you by Nelson GM in Assiniboia and Avonlea. With new inventory arriving daily, they'll find a vehicle that fits your agriculture lifestyle. Proudly serving southern Saskatchewan for over 60 years. See Nelson GM today. Grain prices were mixed in early trading. Viterra quotes for canola gained $7 at $9.90.12. One red spring wheat fell 56 cents at $4.57.38. The rest were unchanged. Durham, $7.07.72. Feed barley, $3.83.64. And flax, $14.68.62. Lentils are $9.86.50. Oats, $5.36.53. Yellow peas, $5.95.75. And feed wheat, $2.61.65. On the Minneapolis Exchange, spring wheat fell 13 cents at $10.37 a bushel. The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn 842-4574. Now, the latest quotes.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Lee Crowley bringing the market report direct from Heartland and Swift Current. We had 7,634 cattle on offer last week. 1,200 cows were on offer, plus 5,000 calves. All classes of cows sold steady to a shade higher toward the end of the week, with 9 order buyers on the market buying cows. Good stocks and feeders sold steady. Here are the quotations. Steers, 300 to 400 pound steers are 235 up to 275. 400 to 500 pounds, 210 to 255. 500 to 600 pounds, $2 to 226. 600 to 700 pounds, 185 to 210. 700 to 800 pounds, 175 to 190. 700 to 800 pounds, 170 to 190. Heifer calves, 300 to 400 pounds, $2 to 210. 400 to 500 pounds, 185 to $2. 500 to 600 pounds, 175 to 190. 600 to 700 pounds, 170 to 185. 700 to 800 pounds, 165 to 176. 800 to 900 pounds, 155 to 165. 900 to 1,000 pound yearling steers are 145 to 165.
And the latest pork prices, 173.65 per CKG. Coming up, the Resource Report.
This is the Saskatchewan Resource Report on 620 CKRM. Here's Jim Smalley.
Now the Resource Report, brought to you by Second Look Online Auction. Visit 2ndlookonlineauction.com to see what's up for bid. The professional bull rider season ended Saturday in Edmonton with a come-from-behind surge by Cody Coverchuck of Meadow Lake. Coverchuck goes in the record books as he was crowned the 2021 PBR Canada champion. Entering the final day, he was number 2, behind number 1 Dakota Butter of Kindersley. Butter was relegated to the sidelines on the final competition with a groin injury. Shaking off a difficult performance on Friday, Coverchuck earned one of 12 coveted positions in the championship round after riding a bull for 83 points. He earned a career-best payday of $67,000 and is now just the third multi-time PBR champion in league history, joining the likes of three-time title holder Aaron Roy of Yellowgrass and two-time champion Zane Lamberti of Ponoka, Alberta. Butter was awarded the Glenn Keeley Award for the fifth consecutive year. This award goes to the Canadian bull rider earning the most world points during the season. On the markets, the TSX is down 31 points at 21,737. The Dow is up 5 points at 36,105. Oil is down 89 cents at 79.90 cents per barrel. And the Canadian dollar is up 22 one-hundredths of a cent at 79.85 cents U.S. That's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, tune in to the on-demand Saskatchewan Agriculture Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. I'm Jim Smalley. Good afternoon and good farming.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.